How about that song? Follow You Anywhere. I love that. That really is what this whole series is going to be about. Are you ready to follow? I didn't hear you. Are you ready to follow? All right, there we go. Woo! Oh, this is exciting. That's really what we're going to do. But I'm going to ask that wherever you are in your faith walk, I want you to drop what you think you know, and I want you to go back to the disciples. Go from their perspective. As we go through these teachings, I want us to go with a clean slate and to see the teachings of Jesus the way the disciples did. So we're truly going to follow with an open heart. They didn't know how the story would end. They didn't know about the cross. They were following. And so that's what we're going to try to do. And I have a message for everyone, especially anyone who's joining us by live stream. There is no one in this room, there is no one watching on live stream who is any more important in God's eyes. And the opposite is true. There is no one here or on live stream who is any less important in God's eyes. You're here, and I thank you for that. So let's get into the work. Let's get into the Gospel of Mark. I have to share a story with you first. I'm a storyteller. So of course, I'm going to tell a story. So about 15 years ago, my life was going pretty well. I thought I had everything under control. I was working in the theater, loved what I was doing. I was not connected to a church family. I was a spiritual person, definitely. I believed in God, but I was a little bit disillusioned, and I thought I could do it on my own. And has anybody ever had one of those moments where everything changes in a moment? Where what you thought you knew the moment before, all of a sudden, it's all changed? Well, I found out I was going to be a dad. Allie was going to make me Daddy Ron. Had a friend of mine, Ken Roberts, came to me right before Allie was born. Ken has this charm. He just has this smile. He came up to me and he smiled. He's a dad. He smiled and he shook my hand and he said, I want to tell you, but I can't. Because you don't know. And you won't know until that moment happens. Just remember, in that moment, when that moment happens for you, remember that I said, welcome to the club, Dad, and now you get it. And I thought, yeah, I've been getting a lot of advice and guidance, and so of course I valued this from Ken. But it wasn't until I was holding Allie in my arms, I got it. Everything I thought I knew the moment before, gone. That little girl changed my life. Why don't you bring that slide up, two of us. There's the whole family. And there's us when she was about London's age, my youngest daughter now. Everything I thought I knew was gone. And the first thing I did is I looked inside of my heart. And I didn't like some of what I saw. I realized I was not the man God needed me to be for her. I realized that with my mind. I felt that need for change. And I asked for guidance. And hopefully, in the 12 years since, I've at least resembled the man I'm supposed to be for her. If you're a parent, you understand what it's like to have that moment. But you don't have to be a parent to have had one of those moments in your life where everything changed, where everything you thought you knew before was changed. That's what we're going to get into today as we look at the Gospel of Mark in today's scripture. Real quick, before we get into that, though, I just want to say a few things about Mark. Mark wrote one of the four Gospels, the Good News. And this is the story of Jesus, that he came as a man, he taught the disciples, and we know that he died for our salvation, for our forgiveness. So there are four Gospels. Mark's is the shortest. Now, Mark was not one of the disciples in the upper room. He was not at the Last Supper. He did some missionary work with Paul and with Peter, spent a lot of time in Rome. This is going to be important because they witnessed to the Romans. The Romans thought everything was good. They had control of the world. Everything was good. Caesar was providing for them. No problems. Everything was good. But it all got flipped upside down right here. And I mean Mark. Mark goes straight to it. See, the people of Rome were people of action. And so for Peter and for Mark to really reach these people, he had to be active. He had to tell them about what Jesus did. Anybody here like action films? Star Wars. Oh man, Star Wars, the first scene, Darth Vader, he boards Princess Leia's ship. We have a battle right away. He takes control of Princess Leia, and we have the story. It started. About Indiana Jones up there. He takes that golden statue, and then the boulder starts to chase him, and we have booby traps and things fly in every direction. I'm a theater person, so Hamlet. Hamlet starts off right away with Hamlet's father, the ghost of the murdered king. Who's there? Right into action. But I'll tell you what, there's a story that those action movies have nothing on. It's the book of Mark. Mark, in the first chapter, right away, we have John the Baptist. Jesus comes in and he baptizes, or John baptizes Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit just descends on him. He goes out into the wilderness for 40 days. He's tempted by Satan for 40 days. Comes back out, still in the first chapter. He goes out and he starts gathering some disciples. He goes out and he's teaching. He's healing people. He's rebuking evil. All in the first chapter. Man, Fast and Furious could learn from that. Whew. He goes straight to the deeds. And the first red letter words that we get, the red letter words being the words spoken by Jesus, is from our scripture reading today. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, I'm sure there are other things that he said, but Mark specifically pointed out this teaching. And I believe that sets up everything else that he taught. If we have an understanding of this, we can frame everything else that he taught about healing and humility. This Michigan boy is still adjusting to being down here in Florida. Humility. Everything comes back to this. That moment that I had with Allie, where everything changed. The time has come, Jesus said. The time. Now, what time do you think that was? Was it lunch? Was it nap time? Was it 4:30? The time. There's a Greek word, kairos, that, of course, chronos is the chronological time, the sequence of time. But kairos is that opportune, perfect time where everything is just right. In archery, you have the right bow, the right arrow. It has to be drawn just perfect, just the right pitch. The wind, everything has to be perfect. You're with your breathing, and at just the right time, there is that perfect time you can release that arrow, that perfect time when it will hit the mark perfectly. The time has come. The great news is the time has not passed for us. Just because it happened then chronologically doesn't mean that right now can't be the time. For me, it was that moment I held Allie. That moment I looked into her eyes. Time has come. A time promised by God. And then he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Now again, he was teaching to the Romans, and the Romans kind of had this pyramid of hierarchy. They had their Caesar, their privileged leaders, their soldiers, and the Roman people. But when Jesus came, he flipped it. He challenged the Roman Empire because he came with truth. Couldn't be disputed. Flipped it all and said, it's about love. In thinking about that perfect time, and the kingdom of God. I want you to consider this. This is something that Pastor Brian said that I just have to share with you. That's just such a beautiful thought. We are one decision away from the kingdom. We are always one decision away. As I was holding her, I had a choice to make. We're always one decision away from being in the kingdom of God and flipping it and turning the pyramid upside down where God wants it. Of course, we look up to him, but he lifts us up also. Oh, okay. Now, this is the word. This word has been on my heart for weeks as I've been preparing for this. He says, repent. Repent. What do you think about when you hear the word repent? For some people outside of our church walls, repent might be a negative thing. They picture that person on the street corner, that aggressive guy saying, repent! That guy trying to hit us over the head with shame and judgment and condemnation. He's aggressively saying, repent, repent! Whew. Or how about people like this who stand on the corners? They believe they're doing it for God's kingdom. I like to say those are church people, not kingdom people. We want to be kingdom people. I kind of like this next guy's sign, though. He had the answer. I want to take back the beauty of the word repent. Let's not let them own it. We get to own it. It's our word. It's his word. And it means such a beautiful thing. There are two words I want to look at, one in Hebrew and the other in Greek. The Hebrew word, shuv. In the Old Testament, this word appears many times. The idea of shuv is to turn from something. In your mind, to turn. Turn from idolatry. Turn from temptation. This is what we do in Lent when we fast. The important thing about turning, though, is that if I turn from this, I have to turn to something. And the idea is you turn from sin, you turn to God. It's very intentional. We don't just turn away, we turn to God. We fast to remove distractions. And sometimes we're not necessarily, it's not a sinful thing. I'd like to think coffee's not sinful. But it is a distraction. And when I take it away, I connect with God. Sometimes when we fast, it's really just about in Lent, about adding something. In the New Testament, both John the Baptist and Jesus in the first chapter of Mark use the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia. That's a beautiful word. Metanoia is this state where you change, as I did in that moment when I was holding Allie. I changed the way I thought, and nothing would ever be the same because it changed my heart and it changed my actions. Metanoia is a beautiful thing. And so, from now on, when you say the word repent, I want you to think of metanoia. I want you to smile in your heart, because this is a gift. God has given us the opportunity to choose, to change, and turn to him, to repent. Now, there are three stages or three steps that'll help you get to repentance. The first one is the mind. It starts with your thoughts. That's the first thing that has to change. You have to intellectually recognize that there's something you're doing or thinking that you want to be different. The next is the heart, the emotion. Well, that was the easy one when I was holding Allie. I was overwhelmed. I wanted to change. I had sorrow. I had grief in my heart for the man I had been because I wanted to be a better man for her. I want to be a better man for God and His kingdom. So you recognize in your mind, and then you let that change happen in your heart. The third is will. If you have a strong mind and you let God change your heart, He will change your actions. He will make it easier for you to do that. Now, we can do this. Anyone could do this. Anyone outside of the church could change their mind, heart, and will, their actions. They could follow their moral compass and say, "Whew, I need to be a better person. I need to get in the gym. I need to be at work on time or early." The difference between what we're doing is the next line in Scripture, and that is, believe the good news. Because we're doing it from a scriptural place. When you make those changes, when you recognize that what you've done is not in line with where God wants you to be, when you allow Him to change your heart and you feel sorrow for that, and you repent and you change your actions, those actions become a pattern of righteous actions. Anybody can follow their moral compass, but when we follow God, that's powerful. And that's what we're here to do right now. The book of Mark, he went out to the Romans and he said, "Hey, Gentiles, you need to know about this. This is the good news." And how amazing that he was just an ordinary guy. He wasn't even one of the 12 disciples, but that's discipleship in action. He followed Paul, he followed Peter, and he spread that good news just like he said we're supposed to. He spread the good news. He gave them something to believe in. What do you believe in? We believe in some pretty silly things, right? Every year at the beginning of the baseball season, when everyone's record is the same, I go back to the 9-year-old boy I was, and I believe that the Tigers can win it all. And I'll put so much of my heart into that belief. Just occurred to me that I'm looking out at all these faces, and I'm aware that a lot of you are here tonight because you believe in me. And I appreciate that. Because my hope is, whether you're here in this room or on live stream, whatever reason you came to this service, fine, believe in me. Because guess who I'm following? I'm going to follow Jesus. And if you follow me, that's who you're going to follow. I know my brother. He's watching on live stream right now up in Michigan. When I was 11 years old, I was attending a Southern Baptist Church with a family, the Merricks. And one Sunday morning, I answered the call. I went down there, I walked to the altar, and I answered all the questions the right way because I had been going. And I went home and I told my brother, "Next week you need to go with us." He was 4 years younger, still is. But I said, "You need to go with us. And here are all the things you need to say. I needed for my brother to be saved. Ryan, believe in me. Follow me." And that message goes to anyone who needs someone to follow. There's a room full of people, a church full of people, kingdom people. And we also need to reach out to find the Romans in our world. We need to find them. We need to tell them the good news. Ben, if you guys could come up here and get ready for the song. What I want to do in the next 6 weeks is allow our hearts to change, our minds to change, allow our hearts to change, and let Him lead us on a righteous path of actions. And hopefully that will extend beyond the sermon series. We're going to talk about some of the things that Jesus taught throughout His 3 years with the disciples. How wonderful. We get to see the inside scoop of what He was telling them. And just like I said at the beginning, I challenge us all right now, just like the disciples. The first step, He said, come, follow me. That first step is to follow. You don't have to have all of the answers. You don't have to, you don't have to know everything, know all of the songs, and know all of the right things to say at the right time in a service. You don't have to be a Sunday school leader to just do what the disciples did and follow. And if we follow from a place of repentance, and it's spiritual, and we believe, we will lead people to God's kingdom. While the worship team is singing this last song, just like when I was 11, I invite you guys. We have prayer rails here. You guys are surrounded by strong followers. I invite you to take time right now to experience metanoia. Repent. Prepare your minds. Prepare your hearts for what He wants us to do, for what He wants us to know in this Lenten season. It's a beautiful gift. Let's do it together as Ben leads us in worship.